It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. By the way, we recently ported over onto a new platform, the website, and with the metrics, we've noticed that it's getting between 1,000 and 1,500 downloads per week. So we were touched by the by the, you know, the way everyone out there is leveraging the knowledge that's shared on the show. We appreciate that, and that of course has to do with our Nielsen ratings. They came in again. I know this sounds like a broken record, but it's very we're touched, we're honored. We're in the top 10 in New York AM radio according to the Nielsen ratings, and of course that is a tribute to you. We thank you for your for buying in and realizing the wealth of business education that's shared on these airwaves week in and week out. And we cover such a wide range of topics and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, real estate, financial planning, marketing and advertising, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to the entire team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a very critical support role for the show. Srili, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, Malka, thank you. And to the great team at WABC, right, 77, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin. Also, special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on, the B-Tank Magazine column, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm, iTunes. We have a robust YouTube channel, and all episodes, as mentioned, are available at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. And I want to a special shout out to the Jewish Home, the new column, the Mind Your Business column that is in there every single week. Not every single week, it's roughly every other week. It so far featured the interview we had with Beth Comstock, former vice chair at General Electric, and Ron Carr, a noted sales expert. Getting to tonight's guests. In studio, we have none other than Charles Scharf. He is the founder and CEO of TBG Funding. We're going to really get a really great look and a hack at the status of the real estate industry today, but as it applies to financing. Anyone that has real estate investments understands that the road to securing the deal is, I don't want to say fraught with difficulties, but could get quite complex. And that's why I wanted to get Charles on the show, because he somehow found a way to make it a lot more simple for many, many people out there. Of course, you'll hear more because, you know, the devil's in the details. You know, we got to get to the bottom of it. But Charles, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, TBG Funding, what exactly, in a nutshell, does TBG Funding do?
In a nutshell, TBG Funding provides real estate-backed financing.
Okay. Now, real estate-backed, maybe just to explain that a little bit more. Real estate, that means that, you know, even though, of course, during the show we'll explain, we'll bring out, you know, what TBG does, but just, you know, is it only deals that have to do with a piece of real estate, you know, as its anchor? Is it exclusively to real estate, or are there other deals that sometimes, you know?
The first and foremost requirement is that there be a piece of real estate that we can leverage and secure as our collateral. The use of funds is something that we can certainly discuss, and there are many, many different uses of funds. They can be used for the development of that particular property.
Right.
They can be used for the development of your business, which may be housed in that particular piece of real estate, or they may in fact be leaving that piece of real estate for some other deal that you may have.
Got you. Now, every business at its core exists to solve a problem in the marketplace. What problems does TBG Funding solve, and which obviously proves why it's so successful, but what at its core, what problems do you solve in the marketplace?
So in fact, there are several problems that we solve for. The first one is timing. Our team of underwriters And our relationship with third-party report vendors allows us to get a loan underwritten and approved in as little as 3 days and closed within 24 hours after that. So if, in fact, you're negotiating on a property and your leverage point against your competing bid is one of timing, and you know and have experience with us, you can rely that within a week you're going to get your financing based on your previous experience. You can then say to the potential seller, hey, look, I don't need to have 30, 45, 60 days to get this done. I can be closed in 2 weeks. Come to us. You know you've had the experience. We've done it before. We do it on a regular basis, and we get you closed inside of a week. The second problem that we solve for is our client's ability to access capital nationwide. Many of the people who we deal with and who we've lent to in recent years have recognized the value that comes out of expanding outside of the New York metro area. There's a tremendous amount of competition here and many, many other factors that play on it. So they've looked out to other areas in the country and they found very, very solid deals. We have the ability to work cross-country and lend cross-country. In fact, we have lent now in 23 states across the country.
Wow.
And we're continuing to grow that.
Now, in terms of, I guess, the question out there, again, for anyone that's in the real estate industry, they understand this, but those that are just entering into this, they may not realize. You know, we're not going to beat up on banks here because they obviously play a very important role in general. But, you know, how long does it take for someone to get a real estate deal done if they went through a bank, typically in terms of timing?
Well, that also speaks to one of the other problems that we solve for, and that's one of timing, as you mentioned. The speed at which a bank can move is very much hampered by a lot of the regulation that they are encumbered with, as well as the overall bureaucracy that exists in larger institutions and companies. What we have is the ability to execute on our underwriting in a very quick way and our ability to deliver a closing in a very efficient way and get through to the final deliverance of money to our clients in a way and in a time that is expeditious. And so there's really a timing issue, but in addition to just being a timing issue, there's also a issue that a bank will only lend on certain types of quality asset. So many banks won't lend on vacant land. We will then lend on vacant land. A bank will not necessarily lend pre-stabilization on a property. We are going to be that jumping point that's going to get you from the opening of your deal, from the purchase of your deal, till you can access conventional financing. That's where we come in.
So what I'm finding so interesting here is that it really talks, you know, it gets at the core of really any small business. The advantage of a small business over a large business is because they could, you know, pivot and maneuver. You're not a small business, but your advantage over a bank is that you could, since it's so entrepreneurial, you could just figure out and you could, I don't want to say bypass regulation because there is regulation, but not to the level that banks are burdened with, that you could easily pivot and just put your thinking cap on to make deals happen.
And it's more than that. It's not so much the regulation, it's the bureaucracy that exists. Right. When we provide financing for a construction loan, it could sometimes take 2 or 3 weeks if you're with a bank when you've put in the work, you've spent the money, and now you need to get your money from the bank. It could sometimes take up to 21 days to get that money. In our office, if you call in on a Tuesday, more likely than not, by Wednesday, somebody's doing the site visit. You may very well have your funds by Friday.
A site visit in 1 to 2 business days, that's like unheard of.
Absolutely.
Wow. How could people find out more information about TBG Funding?
They can access any of our loan officers, our website, tbgfunding.com. And our number is 718-705-9300.
And let's please repeat that.
718-705-9300.
Charles Scharf is my guest, founder and CEO of TBG Funding. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yisroel Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com. mybradio.com. That's the platform for every single episode that aired here on 77 WABC's Mind Your Business program. By the way, we're coming into our fourth complete year anniversary. Wow. Almost 200 shows have been amazing. And of course, a thank you to all those that stop me on the street, send me emails, and you know, meet me in places, and just you know, give me feedback. It is appreciated. I'm touched that the notes we get on LinkedIn, we really do appreciate it, and it gives us, hey, listen, you know, we're all human. It drives us, and it gives us the energy to keep on forging ahead. Tonight's guest, Charles Scharf, founder and CEO of TBG, is someone that I was after because there are a lot of people in. Now, a lot of people, a lot in the community that we're in and throughout the country that are in real estate. It's a hot, a very hot area of business. And they actually solve something that many banks cannot solve. And that's why he provides such great value into that particular area of business. And I wanted to have him on the show. Charles, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the backstory, right? You're now the CEO. You founded TBG Funding back roughly 10 years ago, 11 years ago. What was the idea? What was the backstory? How did it all come about?
So back in 2008, a very good friend of mine approached me with an idea to found a bank.
Okay.
And he had a deal that came across his desk. And we looked at it, and having entrepreneurial spirit in both of our bloods, we decided to move forward with it. And in 2008, we founded a bank called Cross River Bank.
Nice.
With a number of partners located in at the time in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Right.
was its only location. And one of the things that came out of that is that I was sitting on what is called the loan committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue and have been since its inception. And we would see all of these great banking deals that would come through. Now, at the time, 2008, as you know, was...
Yeah, it was the height of the crash.
Exactly.
I mean, the height, the low point.
And
it was terrible. I mean, it was just... Yeah.
Yeah, and but it actually was a great time and for us to start a bank, and that was because we had no legacy problems in our portfolio because we had no portfolio. So we were very careful and very cautious, and there were new regulations that were being instituted for lending. Mm-hmm. And banks generally have a box.
Right.
And if you fit in that box, then that's great.
And if not, you're out. Yeah.
Exactly. And as the market started to turn in 2010, we would see a lot of these deals come to the bank and to the loan committee, and they were good, solid deals. But for one reason or another, they didn't really fit in our box. And we always, as a bank, prided ourselves as thinking outside of the box, and we certainly were way outside of the box
of
traditional banking.
Got it.
But nevertheless, we were very conservative and looking to really do the right thing and make sure that we were only lending on the best properties and so
right.
on and so forth.
Right.
But there were many, many deals that came forth that for one reason or another did not fit the traditional banking box. But as an entrepreneur, I looked at these deals and I said, wow, these have real merit and have real value. So in early 2011, we focused on starting TBG Funding. And the objective of TBG Funding was to fill that void in the market. And that void was simply, you've got a property, it makes good sense entrepreneurially, and it makes good sense from an economic perspective, mm-hmm. but ultimately getting financing makes it too expensive. So if you can't access the right amount of financing or the right cost of financing or financing at all, as may have been the case back in 2010, 2011,
right.
then you couldn't do that deal.
Right.
So the cost of the financing was not as important as being able to get the deal done. And we started in 2011. I believe May was the first loan that we closed, May of 2011. And then the market just ate up what we were offering. And we slowly but surely grew. And thank God we've continued to grow. And thankfully, through today, we have zero losses.
Well, thank God. Wow.
Yes.
This is fascinating because, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, every business exists to solve a problem. And the story you shared about, you know, banks are a box. We know that they provide great value within their space. But outside their space, it's over. The game's over. And you figured out a way to, no, the game is on. You can go into extra innings, no problem, because we'll have a way of solving it. Are there any particular, I'm not asking for anything confidential, any type of deals that like come to mind that didn't fit within the box of a bank but that you were able to solve?
Well, back in 2011, I think banks were much more cautious than they are today.
Yeah.
So times were a little different. But even today, one of the heavy criteria that a bank is going to look at is the ability to service the debt.
Yeah.
So if you've got back in 11, you know, Bushwick was a very hot and up and coming market.
Yep.
So if you had an 8-unit that was 3 units occupied, 5 vacant, and the plan was that you were trying to vacate or the tenants were moving out or it was totally vacant, well, the bank would say, well, how are you going to pay the debt? So that wasn't something that they were interested in. We, of course, looked at it and said, well, we understand that we need to either reserve the interest payments or you've got enough of a global cash flow to be able to service it from outside of this particular deal, and we're going to be in at a good enough loan-to-value ratio,
right.
which gives us the comfort that you're going to deliver on your expected plan. So that was something that TBG Funding was excited about getting involved in.
That's great. Let's get to a term that is known in the industry, but sometimes could be misunderstood, if perhaps that's the way. Hard money, bridge lending. What do those terms mean?
So actually, we call it smart money, not hard money.
I love that. Nice.
Thank you. And the reason is for the fact that it's quite simple. Too often, people will look at a loan and they'll say, well, how much am I paying in interest rate?
Right.
And it may seem very, very high as compared to a bank,
mm-hmm.
Or there's origination or whatever the other fees may be as associated with closing that loan. But in reality, what they're not looking at is the opportunity cost that's being provided or being potentially lost if
right.
they don't do this deal.
Right.
So I can buy a building
mm-hmm.
that I can't finance with a bank, but I can finance with TBG Funding.
Right.
And my projected economic value that I'm going to create is, let's call it $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And of that $500,000, it's going to cost me $30,000 to get the financing.
Okay.
Well, so then that brings my net bottom line to $470,000.
Right. Correct.
Great. But if I can't get the financing, how much economic value do I have?
Right. The deal's
dead. You have zero.
It's zero.
So would you rather make $470,000 mm-hmm. and have the deal
or
make zero and not have the deal because it was a little bit too expensive. So it's not always about the money, the absolute dollar that it costs you to get this deal done. It's about what kind of value are you creating? What kind of net worth are you creating for your portfolio? So it's a very important piece to understand that there is no difference between hard money, smart money, and bridge financing. It's all the same thing. It's there to fill a void. It's just nomenclature. And ultimately, the objective that we try to educate our borrowers is, are we bringing value to you? And our borrowers tell us that we are.
So, Charles, that brings me to the next question. At the beginning of the show, you mentioned that you have lent in 23 states. Now, banks, first of all, there are very few banks that are truly national, you know, nationwide. Many are just regional. And I imagine that that is a concern to a developer who has properties, nationwide. How important is that to your typical developer, the people that you're lending to, the fact that they may have properties in Texas, in New York, that they could just call on you and they're like, yeah, no problem. We could know, we do deals nationwide.
So I think that's really tremendous value that we bring to our clients. As you know, our offices are located here in Brooklyn, New York.
Right.
And that's where we started. And our initial service area that we were providing lending in was, in fact, the tri-state area. Mm-hmm. But what happened was the market started to tell us that our borrowers, our clientele, were moving outside of the New York area for various different reasons. All of them, of course, economic opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
To the credit of my underwriting team, they have been able to really underwrite a market in a very short period of time. So we've followed our clientele, and we've said there's no market that we won't underwrite and investigate and determine whether it's a market that we're comfortable with. In fact, very often we're following our developers, as I said, and they're educating us, which is fantastic. Obviously, yeah, we have to do our own independent underwriting, and we do that. But it's certainly a good benchmark to start, that if a developer is going there, he's seen economic value,
right,
he's willing to risk his capital, we should be looking in that area as well. That ultimately led to us opening an office in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened that about a year and a half ago, and it's
nice,
doing very, very nicely. And our next area that we're opening an office in is going to be Detroit, Michigan,
mm-hmm,
to service the Rust Belt. And we expect to have that open before the year end.
Now, earlier in the show, you mentioned that certainly in the local area, within 1 to 2 days is an on-site visit. Out of town, it's adding just a day or two, or it's,
yeah,
a week?
Yeah, it's pretty much a matter of scheduling the flights. We have access, we have the ability to access travel very, very quickly. And our objective is to get on site as quickly as possible. There is no property that we have ever lent on that we have not actually had boots on the ground. We do not rely strictly on third-party reports. Those are important to us. We do professional appraisals on every property that we lend on.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, we want somebody who lives and breathes the culture of our company and who is a member of the team and understands what we're looking at to actually walk the site and walk the neighborhood and walk the area.
Before we go to a commercial break, just want to let the audience know the way to reach TBG Funding, tbgfunding.com, tbgfunding.com. And Charles, what's the direct line?
718-705-9300.
Amazing. I'm here with Charles Scharf, founder and CEO of TBG Funding. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. By Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up on the main platform for this site, for the show, mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and you can learn all the knowledge. I mean, Charles is sharing quite a bit here. but hey, that's why our ratings are high, right? Because we look for great guests that are willing to share information. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Yeah, I've been asked this question many times. Like, you know, I wish I could pose a question to a guest that you have on Mind Your Business. Well, guess what? We figured it out, and we have a way that could work for anyone on your schedule. Coming up in the next few weeks, I am going to have in studio none other than the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. You could ask him any question related to the workplace environment. You could ask him about corporate storytelling. You can ask him about dealing with a difficult coworker, a difficult boss, a challenging sales question. You can ask him almost anything. And we have it down to a science. All you have to do is take out your smartphone, go to record a voice note. Keep the question under 60 seconds and speak clearly. Make sure to think through the question, ask it very clearly, keep it under 60 seconds, and then email it over to ask@mybradio.com. It's that simple. Record the voice note, keep it under 60 seconds, and send it, email it over to ask@mybradio.com. The top few questions we are going to air on the air, pose them to the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. So make sure to be tuned in, and you will hear your question asked if it's from the ones that are selected. Just another way that we are servicing the great listeners of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. Thank you for joining me on tonight's episode of Mind Your Business. My guest is the founder and CEO of TBG Funding, Charles Scharf. Thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's jump into, you touched on this earlier in the show, but do you provide funding for any type of business, or is it only within the real estate market?
So I would say that the overwhelming majority of our borrowers are in fact real estate operators, mm-hmm. whether they be developers or fix and flip or hold and, you know, buy and hold. Mm-hmm. They're going to be overwhelmingly, their primary business will be real estate. That having been said, we certainly have had a number of clients who have come to us with businesses where they own their property and they need, for whatever reason, to access capital for a short period of time or in mm-hmm. a very quick period of time, mm-hmm. and we're the best solution for them. In fact, I recall one deal we did up in Massachusetts. It is a tent manufacturing company.
Okay.
And his warehouse, we lent on his warehouse and office space. It was a couple of acres, a building or two. And we had to underwrite the business to make sure that they had the ability to ultimately refinance out. So there would be an example of a non-real estate operator who used the real estate that he had acquired through his business for the purposes of accessing capital for his business.
So just to make sure that it's clear for the audience, it's not just when someone is buying a property, but if someone, let's say, owns a property and it's fully paid off, they own it, there's no mortgage on it anymore, they want to invest in something else.
Or even if they do have a mortgage. Very often somebody would buy a property, mm-hmm. or it's been in the family for many, many years, mm-hmm. and they took a mortgage 12 right. years ago, and
right.
you know, it's got 3 years left, but the principal balance is very
low. Down, right.
And there's a tremendous amount of equity, and they'd like mm-hmm. to access that equity. So we will refinance them out of that and give yeah. them additional cash out equity, and then they'll go, you know, at their leisure and find conventional financing.
Now, earlier in the show, you mentioned, thank God, zero losses, which means you're doing a great job at vetting. That's the key here. You mentioned that includes visiting on site, et cetera. What is taken into consideration before TBG agrees to a deal?
So in the first instance, we'll do a quick and dirty evaluation.
Okay.
In the first instance, it really is. We'll just take some cursory looks at the property and some simple questions to the borrower about their experience and strength, and then we'll move on from there. And if basically it passes the smell test, we'll send out a term sheet. The term sheet will essentially represent to the client what we anticipate or what our goal is in objecting mm-hmm. and our objective in getting to a loan amount on this property. After the client has engaged us, first we'll look at the value of the property and make sure that it meets with our needs and requirements. Secondly, we'll look at the strength and experience of the borrower. And finally, we look at the exit strategy, which is probably really the first thing, is that we need to know that there is a reasonable way for you to exit this deal, because we are not a long-term lender. We're too expensive to be a long-term lender. And as I said earlier, the objective is to fill a void. Right. And there's always a time and a place that we are of value, but then there comes a time and place when we're of negative value. So we need to make sure that you're not just looking short-term, but you're looking mid-term and long-term for yourself. And if it works for you, it works for us. Once we pass all those three tests, the loan would be approved.
So in many cases, is it fair to say the exit strategy is that a bank will come in and take over?
I would say the overwhelming majority of our deals exit to conventional financing.
And what is roughly the length of time that TBG specializes in? the amount of, is it a month, is it 6 months, is it a year?
Oh, you're talking the term of the loan.
Yeah, the term of the loan.
So I think our average loan is actually out about 15 months.
Oh.
The initial terms go out at anywhere between 6 and 12 months, and depending on the deal, there may be an extension opportunity in there for another couple of months.
Got it.
So, but the life cycle historically has been about 15 months from closing to payoff.
What's the this next question goes at the core of your strength. You know, what's the length of time that a deal from when someone calls into the office that they're looking at, you know, everything going moving into high speed and that they can actually get their funds?
So I've often been asked that question, and it's a good question, and it's a fair question. And the answer, I'll give it to you in a moment, but okay. I must say that there's a tremendous dependency on the speed at which the client can move. Because we are in our underwriting process going to be requesting information and documentation from the borrower. At very rapid speed. Assuming that that is responded to and we get what we've requested, we can close a loan in as little as 7 days. We've done it in less.
You've done... So,
We've actually closed a loan. Our quickest loan close ever was a property that we knew prior to the borrower coming to us. But from the time he walked in the office till the time we closed was actually 24 hours. I don't like to say that because that sets an expectation that's unreasonable. Yeah. But there have been multiple loans that have been closed inside of 3 days. And as I said, typically 7 days is a very, very doable number.
What's also the general range of your deals? Is it 1 to 3 million? Is it 3 to 5, 5 to 10?
So I would have to say that our sweet spot today is probably 3 to 15 million. I know that's a big range.
No, but that's
we've got a lot of borrowers who are in that $3 to $5 million range. We've got a lot of borrowers that started in the $3 to $5 million range and moved to the $10 to $15 million range. And they're continuing to grow, and you know, thank God they're having success, and we're going along with them.
So, out of curiosity, what's the biggest deal you've ever done?
The biggest deal was over $25 million.
Phew. Now let's talk about, if I may, this for you know this again. This gives perspective of the strength of TBG Funding. Perhaps you could even share some recent deals, maybe 2-3 recent deals that you've done.
Sure, we're actually in the middle of a deal now. Where we're funding the construction of a new hotel in Long Island City, New York.
Nice.
And the borrower borrowed from us as opposed to going to conventional financing because he recognized the value in being able to focus on construction and not being held up by a need for capital. This is an easy one. We don't need to get on a plane to go do a site visit.
Right.
So when he calls for a site visit on Tuesday, you know, Wednesday we're down there. We'll do what we need to do in the background from the legal perspective. By Thursday or Friday, you know, he's got his funding and he can keep rolling along. There's another deal that we did recently, which was, I guess, speaks a little bit to what you mentioned earlier about businesses that access their capital of their real estate.
Right.
Was a drug detox center in South Florida. That got into a little bit of trouble because their CFO forgot to pay taxes.
Ouch.
And they were facing some stiff fines, and they accessed a merchant cash advance, which I don't know if you know anything about, but that can be really devastating to a cash-flowing business.
Yeah.
So we were able to come in there and refinance them out. We gave them north of $4 million.
Wow.
We had to refinance out some of their conventional debt, as well as their merchant cash advance, and then they're now in the process of going for conventional financing. And then there was a we did actually that's a little bit of an older deal, but we're doing some construction deals now in New Jersey, ground up construction of single family homes. So we really cross the gamut of real estate asset classes. We've done actually two of them now. Land for data center development, which is a very interesting business, and it was a lot of fun to learn about the value in that land based on its location and its proximity to areas like Washington, D.C., and you know, being outside of what's called the blast zone. So there's a lot of education that goes into our underwriting and opening up new markets, but it's a lot of fun. It's very educational, very interesting, and it has been quite lucrative for our clients.
So it's fascinating because you also take a look at the industry that your client is in, because that's part of understanding how strong this deal is going to be.
Absolutely, and it's critical to whether they're going to get a conventional exit, which, as I said earlier, is one of our three absolute criteria.
If I may ask, because this is, you know, it's in, I won't say it's in the Wall Street Journal every day, but the, you know, at least once a week or a couple times a month, you know, the status of malls throughout the country. Is that something you touch? Or you
so we have, it? We have, and we continue to do some shopping centers. Okay. They're usually with a story.
Got it.
There's a reason that our client thinks that he has a better way of utilizing the space, or if the particular client is a strong client, the particular tenant, rather, mm-hmm. is a strong mm-hmm. tenant, and it's a 20-year lease to go. We have one client who is a single-asset tenant, mm-hmm. is his primary business. We've done a lot of business with him. He's a very educated, very shrewd and smart young man. So retail, it's a market that you need to understand before you dive into it, and there's many, many opinions on it, as you can imagine.
Got you. But again, the good news here is that TBG Funding, you're not afraid to take it on as long as you do the due diligence and you do all the homework. If it checks out, you're willing to do it.
Absolutely.
Just one last question before we go to a commercial break. Am I allowed to ask, you know, total lending since day one, you know, roughly 7-8 years ago, what are we looking at? 100 million, 500 million?
We are we're approaching $1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, and if things go well, we may hit it even this year. We're hoping.
Fascinating. My guest this evening is Charles Schaar, founder and CEO of TBG Funding. To find out more information about them, tbgfunding.com, tbgfunding.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Yeah, I've been asked this question many times. Like, you know, I wish I could pose a question to a guest that you have on Mind Your Business. Well, guess what? We figured it out, and we have a way that could work for anyone on your schedule. Coming up in the next few weeks, I am going to have in studio none other than the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. You could ask him any question related to the workplace environment. You could ask him about corporate storytelling. You can ask him about dealing with a difficult coworker, a difficult boss, a challenging sales question. You can ask him almost anything. And we have it down to a science. All you have to do is take out your smartphone, go to record a voice note, keep the question under 60 seconds, and speak clearly. Make sure to think through the question, ask it very clearly, keep it under 60 seconds, and then email it over to ask@mybradio.com. It's that simple. Record the voice note, keep it under 60 seconds, and send it, email it over to ask@mybradio.com. The top few questions we are going to air on the air, pose them to the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. So make sure to be tuned in, and you will hear your question asked if it's from the ones that are selected. Just another way that we are servicing the great listeners of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Charles Scharf, the founder and CEO of TBG Funding. We're talking all about funding as it applies to the real estate market. In case you're just tuning in, by Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up on the platform for this program, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Charles, you shared quite a bit about, you know, the background about the company, what you do, the type of services. I still have a couple more questions. I'm sure it's okay, I hope.
Of course.
Okay. Perhaps you could even share some past trends. Before the break, you discussed that, you know, your team learns a lot even from your clients, and you see where they're going. That enabled you to open offices around the country because you saw where deals are happening, and you're willing to, you know, to listen and learn. You're not
Absolutely.
Stuck. So, any other past trends in terms of the type of deals, types of industries that perhaps you could share on the show?
So it's very interesting. We've got a fair amount of data at this point. And what we've seen is that since we started, I would say back in 2011, 2012, the bulk of the collateral mm-hmm. was multifamily residential.
Okay.
Probably north of 75% of our portfolio was targeted okay. and focused okay. in that asset
that
class.
That was condos and all that?
Well, condos weren't such a strong market back okay. then, but just okay. general people turning vacant, mm-hmm. dilapidated properties or updating properties or upgrading properties, whatever the case mm-hmm. may have been. Today, that asset class probably represents less than 50% of our portfolio. Mm-hmm. By the same token, back then construction, ground-up construction was almost none of our portfolio. There was a little bit of rehab construction. Today, construction is quite a substantial part of our portfolio. Land. Initially, land was not there. People were first absorbing the inventory of dilapidated buildings.
Right.
Once markets started to turn, vacant land became interesting. So we went into the land business, and we had to evaluate how much can we lend on land. And it's a lot of different types of underwriting, because ultimately land is much further away from a cash flowing position
right.
than is a building that needs to renovate four right. of 12 apartments.
Units, yeah.
So we've seen that trend move significantly. And as we've increased our sophistication within our underwriting department and our servicing department, we've also been able to increase the size of the deals, which gave us access to new types of deals. So we're currently financing three ground-up construction of hotels in the New York metro area. We've got one hotel under construction in Georgia. And so we've been able to move. But what we've been able to do as a company is watch the trends and address the needs of the market.
Now, when you talk about trends, addressing the needs of the market, I do want to get to your predictions for 2020. But first, just a technical question that may be on the minds of people. Heteriska, that's...
Sure, absolutely.
Got you. A quick question. In terms of, this is just out of fascination, I'll go from the vantage point of real of square footage. What's like the largest property size in terms of a deal that you've closed, the largest property size?
So I would have to say that it was approximately 700,000 square foot wow. office building.
Got you. So what I'm picking up here is that you look at the entire scope of a deal. If it's just, you know, let me ask you like this. If let's say it is just land, someone has land, they have a vision to build, will you even entertain the deal, or only if a building is on the land?
No, we'll absolutely entertain the deal if it is raw land, but it does need to be somewhat entitled. We're not going to take farmland and, you know, lend on it because he's got a dream that he's going to go to the municipality and get it rezoned for multifamily and there's going to be 300 families moving in. But if you've got a piece of property that's already entitled and zoned for 300 single family lots and you need the construction funds to put in the roads, put in the sewers, put in the sidewalks, get the feeders to the individual lots, and your objective is then to sell that property off to a major nationwide builder or to individuals, whatever the case may be, again, depending on your experience and the market and the value, that's a deal we absolutely will look at.
So now, Charles, what are your predictions as to where the market's heading in 2020?
So I leave the predictions to the weatherman. He can get it wrong and with
they
no
usually get it wrong, yeah, with no consequences.
But the way I view the current state of affairs is the economy is strong. Unemployment is at all-time lows. And the ability to work remotely in so many industries has opened up a new approach to housing. It affords people the opportunity to live somewhere they want and not have to sacrifice the quality of life for their livelihood. I think that that has caused many once-forgotten secondary and tertiary areas to be rejuvenated with a modern housing option. Part two of that story is the social real estate, the coffee bars, the internet cafes, the shared workspaces, restaurants. And part three, then, is the retail to support the new populace.
Right.
So the increase in interest rates caused a well-needed pause to the explosion of new development. And I believe that what it did was it gave an opportunity for a lot of the inventory that was being developed to be absorbed by the market and to balance out again demand and inventory. So in short, I don't see a looming disaster, but as a lender, I always proceed with caution.
What's interesting that you're pointing out is that when there was that bump in the interest rate, that was kind of a healthy moment to reflect and to say, okay, wait a second. We were kind of racing along, and it was just like a speed bump type of thing?
Yeah, because what happened was over the last several years, real estate, unlike its previous life cycle, where people bought real estate, paid down their mortgage, had some cash flow, mm-hmm. developed net worth, and then would refinance out, it became an appreciation game. I bought it in 2012. In 2013, it was 30% more.
Right.
I sold it.
Right.
Right. I wasn't thinking about holding this in my portfolio. And financing was so easily available.
Yeah.
And it was at such – money was just so cheap that people were buying and banks were lending, which was great. And it certainly brought us back in a significant way in the real estate market from the 2008 crash. But what it did do is it got people to say, hey, wait a second, I'm not necessarily going to be able to rely on the fact that my rents are going up and my interest rates are staying the same. If my rents are going up and my interest rate is going up, my appreciation is less. So let me just take a step back. Let me calm down. Let's see what my portfolio looks like. And people were able to reevaluate where they stood in the market and be a little bit more selective in their deals. And I think that that was a healthy thing. I think the market needed to take a little bit of a breather. You can't run it at full speed for very long. You want to be able to pace yourself.
Now, I heard TBG Funding recently closed a $100 million line of credit, backing. Why is this so important to you, and what role does this play in TBG's operation?
Yeah, it was a very significant accomplishment, and I applaud our entire team for getting it done.
Wow.
What it does for us is it provides us a tremendous amount of additional firepower to continue growing the portfolio. One of the strong points that TBG Funding has been able to bring to the table over the last several years, as opposed to some of our competitors, is we have unequivocally never left anybody at the table with less money than we told them we were coming to the table with. Yeah. And unfortunately, some of the disaster stories you hear in the alternative lending market is that I was scheduled to close on Tuesday for $3 million, and when I got there, the lender told me he's only got $2.5 million. So if you had the $500,000 to cover that hole, that's great. But if you didn't have that $500,000, you had a real problem. And we've developed a reputation for absolute certainty of closing. And I think that that is something that's really, really important. So as our borrowers started to grow, and as our borrowers started to increase the loan size, and as we started to expand out and develop our client base, we needed to make sure that we had appropriate amounts of capital in the background to make sure we could fund all of these deals in a timely way that kept our borrowers going.
When I was preparing for the show, so one of the things that became clear is that certainly when it's a down market, you thrive. But what's kind of becoming clear during this interview is that even when the economy is great, your TBG Funding plays a very significant role.
So, when I speak to people about 2009, specifically the right. underwriters in my office, and they say to me, yeah, but there's always going to be some value. And my answer is, I remember back in 2009, there was a period of time where there were no transactions happening. It was a short period of time, maybe right. 6 months, 8 months.
Rough.
But during that period of time, it wasn't about dropping the price. It was about finding a reasonable buyer who would actually come out of pocket with the cash
right.
because banks certainly weren't right. lending at that point.
Right. Right.
So you're right. Unless it's a catastrophic event, right? Unless it's something that is just so cataclysmic that the market stops, there's always transactions going on.
Charles, talking about a cataclysmic event, you know, in the last month or so, there's been panic in the New York real estate market because of these laws, this brand new laws that came out of Albany that seriously affect the New York real estate market. Perhaps you can give your take on what happened and how it will affect TBG funding in particular.
Sure. I think we can all agree that the impetus for the new rent regulations was to provide relief to the low and moderate income families that live in New York. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they're the ones who will benefit the least. In fact, I think that they're going to suffer adverse consequences of poorly thought out and recklessly designed regulations. The new regs disincentivize landlords from making continued investments in their properties, effectively ensuring that only the absolute minimum repairs necessary will be made. In fact, new investors have also been scared away from the market due to banks pulling back on their lending and reevaluating the cap rates in New York. I personally am aware of tens, perhaps even hundreds of layoffs by the various service providers that supported the multifamily sector. And you can be sure that those layoffs are at the low and moderate income level. So, unfortunately, the new regulations, which may have had the best of intentions, will have the worst of results. As far as TBG funding is concerned, thank God we have only minimal exposure to New York rent-regulated properties. And in fact, we're seeing a significant increase in our applications nationwide. As always, there will be opportunities as this all shakes out, and TBG funding is ready to finance those opportunities wherever they may be.
Is there a sweet spot, you know, what's considered the best kind of deal? We talked before about 3 to 15 million in terms of lending. Are there any other ways you'd like to address that question in terms of a sweet spot of a deal for TBG funding?
I think what makes us different and really unique in the market is that our sweet spot is real estate. Any type, any place in the U.S., within our ability to close the size of the deal, we're willing to learn and we're willing to work with our client. And we have many repeat clients, repeat borrowers. And I think the reason we've been able to develop those relationships is because they understand that we're here to facilitate their ability to grow their individual portfolios. And if they find that there's value in Oklahoma, in Wisconsin, in Chicago, in Georgia, we're willing to go along with them and learn with them and grow with them.
Charles, the time flies when we do a show like this. We have only roughly 2-3 minutes left. I always love asking my guests a final takeaway that they could share with the listeners. But in your case, I'd love to ask perhaps two final takeaways, one that has to do with the real estate world, the funding world, and perhaps one, because of your knowledge, like you said, you're exposed to so much. You have a wealth of knowledge of where things are heading because when deals come to you, you do all that due diligence, you do all that research. So whether it's office space, malls, et cetera. Yeah. So perhaps you could share a takeaway on the real estate industry and just business in general.
So on the real estate industry, I think it's something that stands true in almost every market. If you undercut your assumptions on income and assume your expenses are going to be more than you really would like to, and it still makes sense, then that's a deal you want to do.
That's your safe,
right?
Okay.
So you want to be conservative, and if you're wrong, you should be wrong to the upside, not to the downside.
Right.
So I think the challenge that many of our borrowers have is that we went through this very strong and fast upcycle where in 1 year you may have been looking at rents for a two-bedroom at $2,200, and then the next year it was $2,800, and the next year was $3,400, and they're just assuming that, well,
right,
next year it's going to be $4,100. And we say, no, assume it's going to be what last year's rent was. Does the deal still make sense? I recall one instance where a client came to us, and he came to us before he actually entered into the hard contract stage. And we underwrote, and we came back to him, and we said, we don't think it's a good deal for you. We're not going to do the deal, but more importantly, we don't think it's a good deal for you. And he actually walked away from it, and he came back to us later, and he thanked us for it. And he said, that's real value that you provided for us as borrowers, is that we're looking out to make sure that they're going to make money at the end of the day. Nice. Because our objective is everybody's got their piece of the pie, but everybody's got to have a piece of the pie.
Now, the truth is, your answer really enclosed everything, but this may be a final good business takeaway.
A good business takeaway.
Yeah, again, it's such a wide open question.
But you know, I think the best advice I can give is that the steady, slow, conservative approach will ultimately be the safest one. That having been said, many of my clients are the fast and aggressive type, and kudos to them because they've pulled it off.
That wraps up a great edition. Charles Scharr, founder and CEO of TBG Funding. To find out more about them, tbgfunding.com, tbgfunding.com. Charles, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night right here on 77 WABC for another great edition of Mind Your Business. Have a great week.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Safliff, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Safliff.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.